Stay connected on your commute. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
It's Wills Ways to Save the Deal Boss. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. Memorial Day next Monday. Let's move into summer and get some hot toy deals for you this morning. Hi, Matt.
I am so excited, Bill. This is an entire box of the hottest summer toys, from slime to remote control helicopters, which we'll get to in a moment. And the entire box of toys that I found, which is well worth over $65 if you buy the items individually, I found it all for about $28.
Wow.
I am really excited about this, not just because I'm a kid at heart, but to be honest, there are so many things in here that could keep a kid or a young adult occupied. I just want to take you through some of my favorite components of the box. So first, you get what's called the Super Heliglobe. So this is basically a light-up helicopter globe that you control with your hands. So as you move your hand up, the helicopter ascends and so on and so forth.
Excellent.
That's one of the components in the box. You get a fan mister so kids don't overheat during the summer. You get a kite. You get something called a bionic fish, which is basically a remote control fish that runs through water, which is really great if you're near Edgewater Park or anywhere else this coming summer. And then on top of that, you also get a kite. The box then converts into a bunch of games on its own, from word searches and various other ways to keep your kids occupied. And build the entire box of toys with shipping is under $35. Because I always tell you, if I were to come on and tell you today on Will's Ways to Save that you get a helicopter for $28, you'd be happy.
Right.
But to get all of the other components, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different toys, all out of the same box for under $30, you're laughing.
Is there an age limit on the high end for this?
I would say that someone who's 33 years old and hunting down eels for a living would be as entertained as the recommended age 6 and up.
Fun stuff. Check out the deal and all the items in the box. WTAM.com. Keyword save the deal boss. Matt Granite. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here tomorrow with another deal. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Hall & Oates at the Q tonight. You going? John Oates has a great new album out called Arkansas. Great sound out of Nashville. I talked to him a couple months ago about it.
When I was a kid, I would listen to the music of Roy Acuff through the radio. That's how early in radio I started listening as a kid to things out of Nashville with the Grand Ole Opry. My sense is, as I listen to Arkansas, I'm hearing a vintage sound technically, emotionally. I'm hearing that everything through the speaker, John.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If it's communicating that way through the speaker to you, that's what making records is all about. It's making records is not just the music you put on the record. It's the spirit and the joy that went into making that music. And I think on this record that comes across. And I think that's why people have seemed to embrace it. Playing the Grand Ole Opry being introduced by Vince Gill and playing with Marty Stewart for the first time and his great band there. That was, to me, just as important as playing Madison Square Garden or doing We Are the World or any of the other things that I've had the good fortune of being involved with over my long career. So it was kind of an endorsement that, hey, man, you belong. And,
right.
And that's important to me.
John Oates been working in Nashville, recording a lot. Catch more of my interview on the podcast page at WTAM.com. Hall & Oates at the Q tonight. Coming up in 5, President Trump big meeting. The leader of South Korea going to be at the White House today. Bill Zimmer will join me on the story. Mike Snyder's got your sports. Mornings 15 and 45 past on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Well, I think last night John was checking out the queue.
He
had a good seat, Bill.
Yes, he did.
Courtside seat.
Yes,
yeah,
he
looked like he was having a good time. And Cavs fans were having a collective good time. When it came to scoring last night, Cavs rode LeBron.
LeBron James. He's watched by Morris, playing with 5 fouls. LeBron right at him to the basket, floated it up, and floated it in. Cavaliers by 15. 105 to go here in the third.
Cavaliers go on to win 111-102. LeBron James with 44 points, 17 of 28 from the field. He leads the way. When asked, though, what the big difference is between the Cavs and the 2 losses in Boston and the 2 wins at the Q?
I mean, obviously we were a lot better defensively, flying around and making them take contested shots and making them make the extra pass and still being able to fly around, and our communication level has been up.
I'll tell you, a guy flying around, Kyle Korver. You think of Kyle, you think of his incredible shooting. Well, he gave the Cavs that last night with 14 in his first four shots, but he also had three blocked shots in the game and a floor burn as he ran the floor to save a ball that kept in bounds, was knocked off of a Celtic player and got the Cavs an extra possession. Tristan Thompson, a huge block defensively, and his defense on Al Horford has been superb since he's been inserted into the starting lineup, and maybe a breakthrough night for Larry Nance Jr. We'll talk more about Larry at 5:45. So the Cavs win to tie the series. What are the Celtics thinking? Here's their head coach, Brad Stevens.
Best two out of three to go to the NBA Finals. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, ultimately, anybody that didn't think this was going to be tough, everything is tough. It's a blast to have to grit your teeth, get up off the mat, and go after it again.
Celtics got 25 from Jaylen Brown, but the Cavs outscored Boston 34-18 in the first quarter, and they were able to keep them at bay the rest of the way. Now, Game 5 is tomorrow night in Boston at 8:30. Game 6, we know, will be at the Q Friday night, and that also will be an 8:30 start. The Indians, after a day off, open a two-game series with the Cubs in Chicago. Trevor Bauer takes the mound tonight, 7:05 game time. We'll have it for you right here. Tomorrow night, Adam Plutko will get the start as he takes Josh Tomlin's spot in the rotation. Tribe has a one-game lead over the Twins in the division. The Browns begin their off-season training activities tomorrow. Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward, their two top picks. They checked out the Cavs game last night. They'll be working today. And there will be a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals of the NHL. The Capitals with a 3-0 win over the Lightning, setting up a Game 7 Wednesday night in Tampa. Coming up, Ty Lue was happy about a lot last night, but not everything. What he didn't like, we'll tell you at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM, 1100.
Is this summit with North Korea on June 12th going to happen?
Well, as the president often says, Martha, we'll see. I don't think President Trump is thinking about public relations. He's thinking about peace. It would be a great mistake for Kim Jong-un to think he could play Donald Trump.
Vice President Pence with Martha McCullen on Fox. Our Bill Zimfer joins us this morning. Yeah, hold on. Trump likes drama. He likes the big stage. He likes to be on the tube. Bill, big meeting at the White House today with us, huh?
Yeah, there is. And safe to say, Bill, there is one item on the agenda. As the South Korean President Moon Jae-in stops at the White House, that would be North Korea. And my, how things have changed. When this meeting was first scheduled, it was designed to really develop the script for the summit on June 12th and see exactly what would be gone over, what the United States wanted to relay to North Korea. Instead, this is now designed to save the summit on June 12th, and this will be all business. Moon Jae-in will come in. We'll spend about 2 hours at the White House. There will be no joint news conference or public statement, so it'll be in and out for Moon Jae-in. And, Bill, how have we gotten ahead of ourselves a little bit here? How about this for an investment opportunity for you? The White House has ordered coins minted to commemorate the Trump-Kim peace talks. If you can get a hold of a few of those, they might be very valuable.
We might be doing a little marketing a bit too early on this. Is that what you're saying, Bill?
I would say, yeah. I don't think that's big stretching it too far, Bill.
All right, it'll play out today at the White House as the two meet. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome.
Meanwhile, down the street, the White House says the Independent Inspector General will expand a new internal investigation of the FBI and Justice Department. Statement from the White House yesterday said the expanded probe will include, quote, any irregularities with the FBI or Justice Department's tactics concerning the Trump presidential campaign. He, of course, tweeted about this over the weekend. ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts on that part of it this morning. You know, for years, historically, it's been called the bully pulpit when you're in the White House. The president almost has the bully tweet, as over the weekend, he called out his own DOJ, hey, look into this.
Well, exactly right. And this, the president has said many, many times that he probably would not be president without Twitter. And he has said many times that, in effect, he has his own network, Bill. It's the TBN, the Trump Broadcasting Network, and with millions of followers. And he has very shrewdly understood that by using Twitter and Facebook and other social media, he can not only control his own message, but he can control how people react to him and dominate the news. And with his 7 or 8 different tweets demanding that the Justice Department look into this whole question of whether during the Obama administration there was any kind of spying or infiltration of the Trump campaign. Now, in response, the Justice Department said, well, we will have our inspector general, who is part of the Justice Department system, look into these questions. But there's a larger political point here. President Trump wants to discredit this investigation that's now lasted a year. He's very worried, as Republicans are worried, that if this continues into the fall, it's going to be on people's minds when they vote in the mid-year election. So a lot of what he's trying to do is alter the political climate for the fall, Bill.
Yeah, there's two things here. One, on the news front and the perception, and two, what the actual investigation finds. You know, you don't look at something this long without finding something and somebody doing something. But Trump wants to make sure it stays as far away as it can from him, right?
Well, sure. And the fact is there have already been 19 indictments or guilty pleas in this case. So it's not as if that this is a dry well here. And Trump has consistently insisted that his campaign had no collusion with Russia. But as we've discussed before, collusion is not a crime. What can be a crime is obstruction of justice. What can be a crime is conspiracy. What can be a crime is fraud. And often, it's one of the oldest lines in the Washington book, the cover-up can be worse than the crime. And a lot of what Special Counsel Mueller is looking at is not just how the Trump campaign, what their relations with Russia, but how they handled the story after that. These various meetings with Russians, the attempt, not just an attempt, but the firing of James Comey, and were these evidence of a plan, of a strategy by this president to somehow obstruct the investigations? This is has been a real concern in the White House for a year, one of the big outstanding questions now is whether the president testifies before the special counsel.
ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. A photo sports columnist for The Plain Dealer. 31 books he has penned, including The Comeback, LeBron, The Cavs, and Cleveland. And Terry Pluto joins us now for complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Terry, we're running on less, not much sleep here.
Yes.
You have posted, though, a couple things. Cavs push Celtics back hard, and you love the grit and poise. I tell you what, Snyder reminds me all the time these playoffs, it's a different theme, a different rhythm, if you will. Cavs have played some amazing ball last two games.
They have, and they've found ways to negate a couple of the key scores. There's a lot of attention being paid to Al Horford struggling with Tristan Thompson on him. But I also think getting Jaylen Brown to play poorly in the first quarter. In fact, I didn't even notice until game three where I think Brown had 13 or 14 points in the first quarter in both of the games in Boston. That was huge because of the confidence he gave them. And really, the Cavs just took that right out of them.
He was one of seven in the first quarter last night, Terry, and the Cavs really built that cushion in the first quarter, and they had a lot of turnovers, and that's why Boston was able to kind of get back into it. But you mentioned in your column about the grit the Cavs are showing. Mm-hmm. Kyle Korver, look at that. He's got four rebounds, three blocked shots, and he's actually trying to slow down Jaylen Brown.
Right, and he was all over the floor for the loose balls. I also think, too, part of the way you do that is you play guys who have that DNA in them of I'm going to hit the floor or I'm going to rebound, I'm going to defend. You know, Larry Nance got back into rotation now because for a while Ty Lue had it in his head kind of he couldn't play Nance and Tristan Thompson both. I mean, not even to say at the same time. It's like he couldn't play them in the same game. I'm not sure where that came from, but I'm glad he got off of that because it changed it. If you want more physical play, play more physical players. And when you have a couple of guys hitting the floor and doing that, it seems like other guys follow.
And then you have LeBron James just doing his thing. Terry, it's amazing. Last night he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for most field goals made in the postseason. I just think over the years, watching Kareem year after year in the playoffs, it really is quite a mouthful of what LeBron's been able to do.
Like Kareem played about 1,000.
Exactly.
Years. I mean, he really did. And, you know, I think he passed Jordan recently for total points scored. I mean, we go, oh, we had 42 points again. And I'm guilty of that as anybody else. I've played my whole story together, and I barely mentioned LeBron going for 42. Oh, we had 42, but boy, they won because – and it actually it is because George Hill played well and because Larry Nance Jr. played well and Tristan played well and Korver played well. Well, that's all true. But if LeBron scores like 28, do they win? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, you touched on it earlier when they were struggling with the supporting cast. It's not even if you get what you get out of a whole game out of a support player, but maybe just at the right time. Even Kevin Love had a bad night, but in the fourth quarter, he hit a big three and also got some big rebounds.
Right, he's consistently got double-figure rebounds in the playoffs, whether or not he was scoring, and I think that's, you know, that's a big deal. The Cavs out-rebounded him by 10. That was huge. And they would have been able in this series where Boston prides itself on being the best defensive team and being more physical. Well, not in Cleveland. And that's why it's fascinating to see what's going to happen in Boston. You know, here's the difference at this point. I mean, it now goes back to the elementary thing. You go on the road, you have to win a big game. One team has LeBron James, one team doesn't.
And on the road, they'll go tomorrow night in Boston. The Celtics, they played better the last few quarters. We'll see if the Cavs now can find a way. Boy, Terry, that everything's really kind of on that line tomorrow. If you can get that one and try to then come back home to wrap it up and not have to go seven.
Yeah, then you've cut the heart right out of Boston. They've lost three in a row, and suddenly now they do start flashing back to the last couple of years when they can't beat the Cavs. They win this game. Boston wins a game five. Well, then it's like, okay, you know, even if we don't win six, we got game at seven. Although still, I'm always taking LeBron James. Let's put this way, against any team in the Eastern Conference in a game seven. Nonetheless, this is a really good chance for the Cavs to take them out. And how about here? We'll be talking about it again. Another trip to the finals.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. A couple of good columns here in the last few hours that he's posted on last night's 111-102 win. Thanks, Terry.
Take care, guys.
For everything it takes to win.
7 seconds to go. The ball is inbounded. And this one is over. The Cavaliers claim game four of the Eastern Conference Finals by the final of 111-102. And indeed, even this series at four as we head back to Boston for
John Michael last night. Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside each Tuesday morning. This time he checks in, former Cavs head coach, one of the winningest coaches in NBA history. Analyst for plenty of networks and with us in the morning, Mike Fratello. Morning, pal.
Morning, Bill.
Okay. Well, they win last night. We're now even at two. Let me ask you a couple things. I want to, first, I think Al Horford said it best. Mike's been playing a cut, talking about playing against LeBron. He says, look, he reads the game. He sees things before anybody else on the floor. You've commented about that over the years, right?
Yeah, this guy has a special sense. I mean, he's been given, God-given, great talent, great ability, a great body to withstand the pounding that he takes in the minutes that he plays night in and night out. And with Kevin Love getting in early foul trouble last night, again, he's forced into almost 42-minute game, and they needed every minute of him on the floor. And he didn't, I know this is going to sound crazy, scoring 44 points, but he didn't have a great game because he had seven turnovers, and those seven turnovers fueled the Celtics' comeback where they made it interesting for a while.
Mike, the Cavs have had great starts at home in the first quarter of each of the last two games. They've been able to slow down Jaylen Brown. What have you seen the Cavs do in that quarter?
You know, Mike, I have a concern about the backcourt again because, if you remember, in Game 2, the backcourt of Boston, Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, wound up outscoring the Cavs' backcourt 41-3. And then they corrected that in Game number 3, and they outscored Boston's guards 25-24. Last night, once again, 41 points for the Boston backcourt and 22 points for the Cleveland backcourt. And that's too much of a differential. You're minus 19 in your starting backcourts. And, you know, Brown last night wound up getting up 23 shots. I think the youngster was on a mission to try and do better than he did in game number 3. Rozier hit a couple big buckets when they needed him to get him back in the game. But what's happening is when we wind up, and you can't really say it's J.R. and George versus, you know, Rozier and Brown, because we do so much switching that we wind up with other people on these guards. And then that's the idea, is to take advantage of the mismatch. If you're a small and you've got a big guard in you, you have to make the big mover seat. And the Boston guards did a good job of that last night by scoring 41.
Kyle Korver is sometimes guarding Jaylen Brown. There he is at age 37, Mike, but he made some big plays, blocked a few shots, knocked the ball away, a diving play to keep the ball alive and knock it off of Celtic and out of bounds. That's the kind of stuff the Cavs need to try to get through this series, though, don't they?
It's the effort. It's the energy. He has great knowledge of his position on the floor and what he's supposed to do and who he's guarding. When he switches on to someone else, he understands what their strengths are as well. How about him leading the team at block shots with three blocks last night and three floor burns from diving across the floor to try and come up with one of those 50-50 balls? That's the energy. That's the effort. That's the kind of understanding that Korver has, how important it was for them to tie that series back up and now turn it into just best 2 out of 3. And, you know, for Boston, they don't have to win on the road. They just have to win their home games. For Cleveland, we've got to steal one in Boston to come up with 4. So important that they wound up winning that one last night. It looked great in the beginning. Got a little bit shaky there in the third quarter, where Boston now scored a 23-21. Then the fourth quarter, 26-22. But 49 points in the second half, given up defensively. Not all that bad. Pretty good overall defensive job by the Cavs. It's the turnovers, Mike. 19 turnovers that led Boston back that game.
Mike, Bill touched on it. Okay, take us inside what Coach Stevens is thinking and even Coach Lou now as we go to Game 5 tomorrow night.
I'm wondering if Brad Stevens is ready to make a change in that starting lineup. As you mentioned, that's 2 first quarters in a row now where we've come out and blitzed Boston. And there was some talk yesterday right before the game that he was going to go really small to start. I'm talking about Brad Stevens, meaning that he was going to start Horford at the 5 spot, bring Smart into the starting lineup, take Morris out of the starting lineup. So he'd be going with Tatum, Smart, Horford, Brown, and Rozier. And think about that. If he played that team and we stayed with our starting lineup of Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love at the 5 and 4 spots, which one of those two guys is going to wind up guarding a Tatum or a Smart or a Brown? It will cause some concern for Tyronn Lue as to, do you change your starting lineup because they changed theirs, or do you make a quick substitution once the game starts? So now, after 2 losses in a row in Cleveland, well, I'm looking to see if Brad Stevens decides he wants to change his starting lineup, or does he know that the starting lineup he has will play much better at home? And if they're going to do that with that crowd and the frenzy the way they are, to me, the key guy becomes Al Horford. Somehow, they've got to get Horford involved. Not like he had a nightmare, but he shot just 5 of 13, only 15 points. And if we go back to game number 1, he shot 8 out of 10, where he was unstoppable and scored 20 for them.
Former Cavs coach Mike Fratello back to Boston now tomorrow night. We'll talk about it again with Jim Jones at 8:20 this morning. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, guys.
100.
On Tech, Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, joins me on News Radio WTAM 1100. Good morning, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
You sent me a stat, and I would totally agree, at least I'll raise my hand. 6 out of 10 American adults say they lack the confidence in their ability to install or set up most connected devices. I would think in every American home, there is something sitting somewhere that someone bought or someone got as a gift that they just haven't taken the time, or it's overwhelming to hook the thing up, you know?
Sure, you know, I mean, our lives are really increasingly driven by that technology. And in fact, it's not just one device. The average household now has more than 8 connected devices, twice as much as you had in your home in 2010. And that can get really frustrating. It can, you know, you're not quite sure who to turn to. You can contact the manufacturer. Sometimes they can help you, sometimes can't. The great thing, though, is that Best Buy has brought this new membership called Total Tech Support. It's dedicated to supporting all of the technology in your home, no matter where or when you bought it. Great deal for customers, powered by Geek Squad.
So even if I didn't buy whatever it is at a Best Buy, you'll still help me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we have a couple different options on that. The plan itself includes unlimited support for that technology, both remotely as well as in our stores. And it provides for in-home support for starting at $49.99 per call. Hmm. The great thing is, you know, most people think Geek Squad, they think computers, but this actually covers, like I said, all of the technology. So, for example, you get this membership to help with your computer, but it's also going to cover your tablets. Say you bought a brand new stereo for your car, you bring that in. Installation is going to be included with our Geek Squad AutoTech. You go purchase a brand new dishwasher and you need it installed, regardless of who you purchase it from. Obviously, we'd like you to purchase it from Best Buy, but regardless, that in-home installation of that dishwasher, that new fridge, that's going to be included in that $49.99 service fee for that installation. So it's a really great way to cover all of those services, all of those devices, again, wherever you bought it from.
You mentioned the car. Look, we're taking the iPad with us. The kids are in the back staying entertained while you're traveling on vacation this summer. You got Wi-Fi in the car right now. Some people are so smart. They've got things set up where they can adjust the temperature at the house. And it all sounds easy. But half the time, either it doesn't work or you don't know how to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is not just for repairs. It's also for helping you learn how to use that technology. So you bring in all the stuff that you're going to need to be set up for your road trip. And our auto techs are actually even good for things that aren't necessarily cars. I've driven by the local Best Buy, the Geek Squad Auto Tech Bay. I've seen people bring boats in to replace the stereo on it, RVs. Again, this is just a really great way to get all of that technology with, all of the stuff that you needed to do. And the really great thing about this is the cost. The annual membership is $199.99. Mm-hmm. Again, they get you that unlimited 24/7 Geek Squad support in our stores, by phone, online, and even through an easy-to-use Best Buy Home app that kind of ties everything together.
Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, kind enough every week to talk a little tech with us, and I thought I'd let him talk a little tech and the benefits of the Geek Squad this morning, since you're so kind to us. Good stuff. Derek, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We read the press reports, but it's all very troubling. It's all very troubling to those of us that hold the FBI in such high regard that there are even allegations that people were assigned to surveil or even spy on our campaign.
He does. Turns out the president's got a couple of extra cell phones he uses to tweet and talk in addition to his presidential communications. So, and of course, that we know how effective he's been at going around the news media and communicating unfiltered. But the big news here is that it turns out the FBI or intelligence services may have sent an informant into the Trump campaign. So who knew there was a Trump campaign? We all thought the president was just running around tweeting and giving speeches, and that was it.
I mean, there was a building, they had meetings, they had some organization, I guess, right?
It's a shocker. We'd never heard of such a thing.
Well, now, look, seriously, this would be a shocker if indeed this is true, right?
It is. And, you know, there's a larger pattern here. The politicization of government. We go back to the Obama administration and see an administration that tapped the phones of reporters, that used the IRS against its political adversaries. We see an Obama administration that interfered in the Israeli election. We see Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general, meeting with Bill Clinton in a secret meeting on a runway while her department's supposed to be investigating Hillary's email. So when you start to connect the dots, Donald Trump is saying, wait a minute, should our law enforcement agencies be used this politically? It was wrong.
He was sent there to shake things up. And, I mean, you know, day after day he's doing it, and Twitter, and we saw that on Sunday. Business is closed in D.C., but it's 24/7 with Trump.
I don't know how he juggles this many chainsaws all at once, politically, and also keeps the government going. You know, he's still got the June 12th meeting with Kim Jong-un. That's still on the books, though. I think it may be delayed.
Our Alex Castellanos. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
We have everything it takes to win.
7 seconds to go. The ball is inbounded. And this one is over. The Cavaliers claim game four of the Eastern Conference Finals by the final of 111-102. And indeed, even this series at four as we head back to Boston for game five in two nights. Tip time is at 8:30. We will play every other day until a winner is determined. The Celtics took the first two games in their own building. The Cavaliers are able to respond. They win game three by 30. They win game four tonight by the final of 111-102.
John Michael with a setup last night. Jim Jones, of course, joined him on the broadcast. Jim now with complete Cavaliers coverage. The legend, he's got a ring to prove it. Brought to you by Levin Furniture this morning. Your Cavs update, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now let's take a deep breath, Jim. We're tied at two games apiece, right? Morning, pal.
Yeah. We have Bill, I want to say congratulations to you and your beautiful daughter.
Oh, you're
kind. I guess she went in there. She got a master's degree, huh?
Well,
wow.
She did all the work. I just paid. You know what I mean, right? Thank you. Very kind. You're very kind. Yes. Proud of her. Very proud of her. Okay, let's get these Cavs now. Look, every game was different themes, but we liked the last two because we won, right?
Yeah, we do, but we also like our defense. You know, we've been able to hold the Celtics under 40% from the field in these two games. And then we faced some adversity. You know, they made some strong runs this last game. They made a comeback. You might say they won the second half. But the Cavaliers stayed strong. The one thing I like about it is that even when the Celtics came back, we didn't give in, Bill. They never tied the score. They never took the lead in the second half, even though they played well. That is key. Because it's all about willpower, and the Cavs had the willpower, and it was fundamentally the foundation for it was their defense. They only gave up 102 points. The Celtics have been struggling since they lost Kyrie and Howard. You know, everybody had talked about the great bench they were going to have, but they've got two bench players starting, Rozier and Morris. So when they look down their bench, they're not necessarily looking down there for scoring. They're looking down there for guys to come in and play roles and do other things, putting a lot of pressure on their starters to be effective offensively.
Jim, the Cavs had a great start, led by 16 after one. The Celtics did fight back, though, and they got back into the game. The Cavs had some trouble with turnovers. What did you see happening, particularly LeBron and Kevin? They actually had 13 of the 19. What did you see happening there?
Well, Stevens is a smart guy. I guess that's an understatement now. I'm going to give him the guy all his accolades, and he hasn't won anything yet. But the point is that LeBron had 7 turnovers, Love had 6. Those are our two playmakers in the starting five. And what they're trying to do, basically, they're trying to imitate the Pacers. They believe that if they can minimize Love and they can be physical with LeBron, that neither one will be there at the end of games. What they're not doing is they're really not leaving anybody. They're staying close to our shooters. They understand how we're made. You know, the guys, most of our guys that come in are shooters. But I think what's happened is that because of our defense, they have not been able to take advantage of that Pacer style of strategy on the defensive end. It's an old strategy. Remember Lenny Wilkins used to play that against Jordan? He would say, let Jordan get his and stop the rest. Well, the problem with that is that Jordan and LeBron are not settling for 25. They're getting 40. that compensates for a lot of inefficiencies from his teammates on the offensive end.
Jim, going into Game 5, history tells us, and when a series tied at 2, the winner of Game 5 historically has gone on to win the series. So you've been in Boston. You've seen the way the Cavs have played these last two games. Now, how do they make that translate in Boston tomorrow night?
Well, I'm greatly encouraged because of the way that we defend. And the pressure's on them now. They've lost 2 straight. There's tremendous amount of pressure. You know, we held up to the pressure because of our experience being down 0-2. We come home, we win 2 games. Now it's back on them. Expectations are high. You know, guys are still talking trash like they should have won game 3, and then they come back and they lay an egg in game 4. So the pressure's on them because they don't want to come back to Cleveland. You see where I'm going with this. So, and their fans are rabid, and they're excellent fans, and they're going to put pressure on them to win that game. And they have not handled the pressure well. They've made some adjustments, but what we've yet to see is when Jaylen Brown and Tatum both play well at the same time. It's one or the other. Baines, they want to play Baines with Horford because that gives them a better chance defensively when those two are in the game. But when they put them both in the game becomes so slow, the advantage shifts to the Cavaliers. I mean, I just think Nance is godsend. When you put Nance in there, now you put a super athletic kid in there when you take Tristan out. And his athleticism has shown. He's a smart kid. He's made the adjustment. He's playing with a lot of confidence right now.
Jim Jones's take, fantastic. 8:30, they'll tip it off tomorrow night in Boston. Catch it here on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Thanks, partner.
You're welcome.
We have everything it takes to win.
Tribe coverage, Jim Rosenhaus checks in from Chicago. Got two to play there, and that means Trevor Bauer is going to bat, I think, tonight. Is that right, Jim? You can confirm that?
That is confirmed, yes. He will bat unless something goes horribly wrong in the first inning.
Have we talked to Trevor about batting? Does he have any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think he's going to pull out the imitations of real Indians hitters like he did in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I'm going to guess it might be somewhat entertaining. So we'll see. It should be fun, though.
I think Trevor has thoughts on everything, Jim, doesn't he?
Yeah, he had an interesting weekend in Houston for sure. And it's interesting because he came out and he talked about how doctoring the baseball with either pine tar or other substances affects spin rate, and somehow that got construed to mean that he was going after the Astros specifically, and they responded, and there was some back and forth. But, you know, I think sometimes it can be, I don't know if his teammates felt it was a distraction, but I know at there was a certain point this weekend where Terry Francona said enough, we need to stop this. And he actually ended up talking to A.J. Hinch, the manager for the Astros, and apologized for it. And so I think when it gets to that point and that happens, he needs to kind of take a step back and just stop a little bit. But, it's funny because sometimes we like our athletes to be a little more colorful, so to speak. But then when they do... maybe they cross a line somewhat and you don't like it. So it's an interesting line that Trevor Bauer walks, I think, sometimes.
Well, he's been pitching well, and this should be a good one tonight. Two-game series for the Tribe and first trip to Wrigley since the World Series. Jim Melky Cabrera made his Tribe debut the other night. What do you see with Melky and the Tribe going forward here?
Well, Mike, it sure looks like they're going to let him play. And find out what they have, which they shouldn't. If they signed him and they brought him in here to make an impact, for him not to play almost every day probably wouldn't make much sense. And they do need a boost right now. There's three outfielders on the disabled list, so they're short outfielders. If he swings the bat the way he has most of his career, and specifically last year, had a really productive season with both the White Sox and the Royals, he'll help this team. So that's what they're going to try and find out here for the next little while. Is he ready to do that? He missed spring training, so it may take a little bit. But, at least the first game out, he probably unexpectedly contributed from the outfield and threw a runner out on the bases, and it remains to be seen how quickly that good swing will come around in the major leagues.
You know, I think when we see these guys miss time, I think we have a little more appreciation for spring training, or even like we've seen with Andrew Miller, when a guy gets called up maybe off of the DL, why it can be very fortuitous to have a couple of rehab starts before they return to the big leagues.
I think that's fair to say. And I think the Indians did it pretty well with Cabrera in that they had him in Goodyear at extended spring training for a couple of weeks before he went out and started his time at AAA Columbus, and he had 10 games down there. So, they tried to simulate spring training as best they could, and, we'll find out. We'll only know in probably a couple of weeks from now if it was effective or not, but it does make a difference, and you're right about players coming back. from injury too, and the rehab assignments, we'll see it with Lonnie Chisenhall. They feel he needs a long one, and we'll see how long that is.
Rosie, we'll see Chad Wood tonight, Lester tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, so tough pitching for the Indians to face, especially Lester, but good matchups here at Wrigley Field, and it'll be fun to get back.
All right, enjoy Wrigleyville. Hopefully it's a better trip than we had last time in there. A couple of wins for the Indians. Tonight we've got our gamblingauto.com Tribe Insider with Nick Camino at 6 o'clock. Jim Rosenhaus on the Tribe. Thanks, partner.
You got it.